right, we are back.
What's up?
Hey, what's up? The Blood Force Gamer is doing our thing. It's me, Game Goblin. Copy noise comes from Moniker himself.
I'm back to trip over my own words again.
Exactly. And Kazar Kenry joins us.
I have returned.
No doc?
Not today.
Oh.
Chickened out.
Pussy. And of course, my co-host, Darth Blasphemous.
Hail to the dark side.
The dark side in your case.
Damn Skippy boy.
Don't damn Skippy. What did he do?
Everything.
Okay. So today's topic is know your fucking role. There are people who jump into games and the worst of the worst, of course, are eBayers who buy an account, run into a game thinking, oh, I got this level 90 character, I'm going to kick ass, and then they suck balls.
Mm.
And of course, this is going to be multi-platform because there are people who do this at the game table as well, or any team game, really. I mean, you could be playing Magic Two-Headed Giant, and you got the guy who's your partner, and he's playing his deck exactly how his deck is built or whatever, and it's screwing both of your games up. So that's it. Know your role.
Hell, this happens also in paintball.
Or in paintball. All right.
Pretty funny in 40K. Well, we'll get to find out more about this after the intro.
Feeling tired at the gaming table? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you.
Listener discretion advised.
Bitch, normally I call the intro.
I saw the opening.
Okay, fair enough.
The blasphemous Trauma Goblin schism was about to happen. It was real.
It's okay, I know where he lives. So, know your fucking role. Alright, so, when I was playing EverQuest back in the day at EQ2, brain fart. We're not even like 30 seconds into this, my brain fart. Okay, so I'm playing my Necromancer. Necromancer is like the Swiss Army knife. You are a fucking maestro of hit points. So, Kazar Kenry is up there and he's getting wounded. Hey, have some hit points, dude. Oh, there's a monster over there. Take some hit points from that guy. And I'll pass him over along the Darth Blasphemous over there. You're just moving aggro and damage and all over shit around. You are a conductor, really. And that is your role as a Necromancer. You are not a master of anything, but goddamn, you were effective at everything. But you can't DPS as well as a fighter can, because, of course, you're a paper tank. The moment you get aggro, something's going to run up and beat face. You might as well just, wave into combat wearing wet tissue paper. That's about how effective your robes are. On the other hand, in old EverQuest, I was playing a ranger, and I was a DPS machine, and that was my role, was DPS, but it's one of those other things, of course, of knowing your role is I spec too hard in the DPS. And we would have encounters where we'd have like two tanks up front. They're both just going at it. And they're mashing the taunt button to keep the aggro off of the healers. I walk in and I just hit auto attack. And that's the problem right there. Because I wouldn't even use special abilities. I just walk in, hit auto attack, and I had so much haste on my character and like super speedy weapons. And I was just like, walk up and just like put a blender on the enemy's face and hit the on button.
So good.
Yeah, within like 30 seconds to a minute, the aggro would shift to me and the fighters couldn't pull it back off. But of course, rangers are a hybrid class in old EverQuest. So once I got the aggro, I was dead because hybrid classes suck for armor. It was not wet tissue paper, but it was wet cardboard. I'd still die real quick, so. Knowing your role is great, but overdoing your role is also bad. You got to find that balance point.
You know, being a good team player is all about knowing when to pull back.
Especially between the dichotomy between a fighter and a cleric.
Yeah. It's a great design.
And I've seen this on tabletop, too. You know, like, the fighter will just, like, wade up there, and the cleric will be in the back, like, completely exposed. And it's like, hey, the battle turret will get surrounded. Cleric is screwed, you know, when the archers arrive.
You know, and then, like, in the same kind of vein, you know, it doesn't just limit it to a game like an MMO or a tabletop. I'm playing in one on Discord where I'm playing a tank. My job as a tank is to get in the way of all the enemy's attacks, but not my allies.
That's true. The door-blocking fucktards always piss people off, especially on tabletop. You get the one guy who, like, walks in the doorway and he wedges them in there, and, like, you get the ranged guy with a bow and arrow. He's like, thanks, dude. I don't have the feet to shoot through you yet. Remember?
And, you know, as funny as Leroy Jenkins was, and still is, in my opinion, there comes a point where Leroy Jenkins needs to die. There's a guy in the D&D game that I am sort of a DM's assistant slash confidant, trying to help him because it's his first time DMing, and as a new DM, I'd be like, dude, trust me, don't do these things. And this somehow, he let this guy talk him into letting Leroy Jenkins be a god. His god, specifically. So, whenever there's a fight, he just runs in. He has party wiped them twice.
Eventually, the other players at a tabletop game will kill that other dude. In MMOs, they'll stop grouping with you, which means less loot, less XP, less cool times. In tabletop, it means the other players will turn off their PvP flags and fuck you up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Kamikaze is effective, but usually that pilot only gets one shot at it, so he's not coming back for round two.
Yeah, usually a Kamikaze has to go down. Sorry, that was I just realized how pornographic that sounded.
Yeah. We're letting you roll with it.
Okay, yeah.
But like we were also saying, this also applies to really any team-based event. This can be sports. You know, you don't want your linemen trying to run out to catch the ball. You want them to block for the quarterback. In, you know, hockey, you want your goon to be out there to fuck people up, but you don't want him trying to block the goal.
Exactly. One of the best examples I can pull out, and I know three around the table right now are familiar with this. When it comes to the topic of Know Your Role, because this is one that stands out right at the forefront of my mind, is monks who do a speed build and run ahead of the party.
Yeah.
Way far ahead of the party. It's great to be a snowflake, but...
You melt to the easiest amount of flame.
Yeah.
The other thing about that is, like, if you're going for a speed build or something, it's fine to scout ahead as long as you can still get back to the party in time when... A, you're in danger, or B, they're in danger.
Or during a combat scenario.
Which would either of those qualify for?
Yeah.
Especially when your only healer can only do healing in a radius.
Like,
and you can run that twice.
I can't reach you. You're on your own. Wave at you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, some character classes on tabletop, the way they're played, are so totally fucking stupid. Like, the monk, and I've seen it more than once, you know, like... I've got a speed of, oh my god, so I'm just going to run ahead of the party and scout until they can't even see me anymore. And rule number one, as any gamer knows, is don't split the party.
And, the reason you're in a party.
And the other one that I love seeing that always fucks with people, it comes with the know your role thing, really, is when you're sitting around in a group, don't play the brooding loner.
Oh god.
So much edge, you'll cut yourself on it. The brooding loner, really... It's great in novels, horrible in RPGs. It really wouldn't work in an MMO.
No.
It really just kind of is one of those things, it's like, let's keep it to just the book.
Yeah.
It's almost kind of literal, it's good on paper, but...
Yeah.
It's almost like communism, you know? It doesn't work IRL.
Whoa, we covered this last month. It does work. Those people will never eat again and cure starvation by killing the starving. You know, and with Know Your Role, especially, like, maybe, you know, like, three-headed, what are they, commander setup?
So
generals?
It's,
magic?
Yeah, playing commander. When you get into team-style commander, like playing emperor, where there's three people to a team, or two-headed giant's the more regular one. Two-headed giant, one person plays the hammer, one person plays the shield. Usually how it works good. But if you've got a guy who their entire deck is board wipes, and your buddy, which you have personal series for this,
yeah,
who you're working with happens to be an aggro deck that they have to barf their field full of cards or tokens, but your buddy sitting next to you keeps board wiping because, oh no, they have that one scary creature across the table, you know, it kind of screws you.
Yeah, you're right, that is a story I didn't want to tell because it's a long story, but the long and short of it, I was playing a Jund token deck, bars out both tons of tokens every turn. Like, when I'm fully ramped up, I can par about hundreds of tokens per turn, little 5-5 tokens. Okay, not so little 5-5 tokens, but...
like, 5-5 ain't small anymore.
And bark these fuckers out by the hundreds. But that's once I get, like, the combo is going and it rolls out, and I've got this combo keyed in my deck multiple times over, just in case, because people will see the scary combo building, and they'll be like, no, and they'll be like, yes. Fuck you! And, yeah, the two-headed giant game that Blasphemous is going on was, indeed, I was playing next to a white-blue board wipe control deck.
Okay.
So I get my combo rolling, and he'd wipe shit. I get my combo rolling again, he'd wipe shit. Like, dude, I am a hammer right now. Just stand in the way of things trying to hit me in the face until I can get rolling. We can win this.
And then you proceed to prove yourself right, because he finally fucking listened.
Oh yeah, I took out the speed elf deck next, because he was scary. He was actually scarier than the Eldrazi, because the Eldrazi, when they came running over, I'm just like, man, here's some tokens. Eat them. I don't care. I have 40 more next turn.
Oh my god, I killed Emrakul with 15 squirrels.
Yeah. So yeah, like, even in card games, or, you know, I don't know if they have any, but like board games, even. If you're on a team. Know your fucking role. Mm-hmm. If you're playing an MMO, play your character from level 1 through a shit ton of soloing so you know how to respond in an oh shit situation. There's nobody to help you out. You get used to where your shit is. You know, what, set up your hotkeys, set up your macros, whatever game you're playing. Set that shit up yourself, figure it out, do some reading online, know your role, play with groups, you know, get in the shitty pickup groups, get in with really good groups. And you'll figure out, by the time you hit level 90, you will be a fucking god. Doesn't matter your gear, you know how to roll that character out. And people who eBay their characters always suck. Always. And it's the same, like, some games give you the ability to level up to straight to the max right off the bat.
SOTOR!
SOTOR! And if you max the level right off the bat, sure, they might give you some freebie gear to help you along, but besides being screwed on the gear side, you're screwed on the experience side. And the same goes with if you're playing Marvel Superheroes, Pathfinder, Dungeons & Dragons. Unless you played a shit ton of little itty-bitty characters, once you get, you know, GM goes, hey, I don't want to start a lobby campaign. Everybody starts at 10. You ain't gonna know shit. You don't know your role. And especially if the GM says, hey, we're starting at level 10, and you're like, well, I normally play fighters. You know what? I'm gonna try a sorcerer.
Don't, if you're taking in an advanced setup, say, I normally play, you know, these types of characters, but we haven't really gotten up to like 6 or 7, and now you're jumping us up to 10, stick with something you're fucking familiar with, because otherwise, you will fuck everyone else up.
Yeah, branch out a little bit is okay, to dabble in other things.
A good example of this, D&D 5e, fighter, you know, run up, hit it with a stick, right?
Yeah.
I've played those before, meh. I started up a game, or I joined into a game, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go down the Eldritch Knight, because I haven't done that before. It's a little bit out of the ordinary, but I can work with it. I understand my job. I'm going to be the great big wall, and I'm going to make a fair bit of hurt, and that's what I'm going to do. And I did. But that's because I've played obscene amounts of other shit.
Strangely enough, I can't play fighter classes and save my ass. Especially on tabletop. I'm bad at them online. I'm horrible at them when I'm doing single player. I can't do shit. I like run up and like swing my wampin' stick around. I'm like, what do I do? Like the barbarian I played, man. It was just fucking horrible because I have no idea how to wrap my head around it. Like the whole rage mechanic pisses me off, because I'm like, why would I want to suffer detriments on the battlefield? Fuck that noise.
There's irony in that statement somewhere.
There's probably irony in that statement somewhere, but it's the same token. Yeah, actually, there is irony. Another character just popped into my head who would, like, fucking knock their constitution all the way down to 1 just to fuck people up. But anyway, like, fighter classes, I can't get them. And even at, like, level 1, I will suck at a fighter class. But you throw me into a spellcasting class, and I'm like, boom, I am the wizard, motherfucker. Winning! I'm a sorcerer! Clerics, I'm so adamant, and it's weird how it translates from tabletop, or even card games, or online games. And I know my role, personally, my strengths are strongest towards characters who manipulate the battlefield, characters who have high DPS values but sit in the background. I mean, like, I'm good with an archer, but a frontline tank, no. So, and it's weird, because, like, I'll get into a strategy game, and I'll think, like, a wizard does. I'll be like, well, how do I manipulate this battle situation into my favor? Instead of, rawr, smash, smash, smash. Then again, there's fighters who play it really well. Mm. And can't do, like, a rogue or a wizard to save their butt.
Well, it's like, you especially know this. When I was a monk, how horrible bad I was. But all of a sudden, I pick up, what was, Floyd?
Floyd?
Yeah, towards the end of our Kingmaker campaign.
Oh, I know you did the annoying,
No, SJW Elf was a Magus.
Yeah.
Or no,
I'm glad she's dead.
Yeah.
But, no, the character right after.
It was another spellcaster.
Yeah.
I think it was a wizard or something of that sort. It, like, she passed off, the Magus passed off her magical doodah as a guinea.
Actually, that's a good side note, though, Blasphemous. Like, your spellcasting characters, actually, you've gotten really good with them, and one of the things, as far as the topic of this conversation goes, when it comes to knowing your role, you do a lot of reading on the subject. When we're doing a game, or you're playing any game, like the Magic one you're doing or whatever, you do a lot of sidebar reading.
Mm-hmm.
You're checking out strategy, you're checking out tactics, you're checking out combinations, you're checking out spell thematics, how they work in-game, the numbers, you're crunching the values, the integers, and you're getting all of this together, and you're making your playstyle better. And in fact, I would have to say that you're more geared towards a spellcasting class, especially that fucking occultist.
Yeah, favorite class anyone will ever let me play it again.
I wonder why.
Yeah, those classes are fucking... Warped. Yeah, they're bored. They're broken. But yeah, when you were playing your Magus, when you were playing the SJWL, all of those classes, actually, you were doing really well as a spellcaster over classes that don't have spells.
Like,
and part of knowing your role is you're totally, like, you're sitting over the books, you're going through it, you're thinking about the stuff, you're checking your character sheet over and over, you're looking how stuff works. And you need to do that when you're building a magic deck, when you're playing a board game, when you're online gaming, when you're solo gaming in an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is my role? How do I play it most effectively? Because everybody has a role. I mean, the four basic roles in a game. You've got your meat shield, you've got your DPS, you've got your battleground control.
And you've got your healer.
And you got, you know, if you're lucky enough to have a girlfriend, you have a healer. Okay, that was a stereotype.
Oh, the trope is real.
It's an archetype at this point.
It is.
You know what? I would actually have I would rather have a girlfriend who's a DPSer, because two DPSs who know how to yo-yo a mob is fucking devastating. You just watch this mob run back and forth between two DPSers, and you're just like, bam!
Because all that time they're running, they ain't doing their shit to hurt you.
But see, that's the fun part. Like, my latest adventure has been a bard. Missouri. You guys have heard me talk about him on and off during our entire run.
That's your gay drow, right?
No, that's not my gay drow. Gay drow has not appeared yet. That's my enemy for the third dungeon my group's going to go through, if we ever game again.
The one whose battle cry is no homo?
No, that's the barbarian.
Ah.
That's his slave boy.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck
boy!
But no, Azuri is a bard, and I'm trying to get this whole jack of all trades thing down, and I'm pretty much having him run in the background. He's got a bag of holding with a whole bunch of really weird shit he shouldn't really have, but he has for both storyline reasons and to fit his MO. And as a bard, it's like, alright, I can yell at sticks and paper like a motherfucker. So, I just carry around a bunch of wands in this bag of holding. I mean, I need to get better at spells overall. I'm doing the research. Ooh, major shout out. Sorry, it's a shameless plug here for something I enjoyed. The animated spell book. They take spells one by one and talk about them. Featherfall. I learned a lot more awesome uses for it. All kinds of cool stuff. They go over the spell and the interesting ways to use them. And as someone who's trying to really become more of a spellcaster because I enjoy it, I'm reading the, you know, core book, I'm reading the Advanced Magic PDF, all that stuff for Pathfinder, because it's so much more interesting. So, a bard, very jack-of-all-trades, as you would know.
Oh, yeah. Bards are fun.
The main reason I have this DM character who, if I ever write this into a module, God willing, he's going to be a character that has to be there because bardic knowledge would ruin the entire aspect of the game. Like, you remember playing through game one where I first DM'd, how it just seemed like there was all this easy information that could have been known by a bard, but none of the player characters are bards.
Strong druid, but splat.
Although, you would love this, so there's now a thing in the game where if you kill a magic user, or destroy a magic item, yep.
Cow fucking bluey.
I've decided to make it more of a game mechanic. I have to roll and on a table of averages, and then that decides either what happens, if anything, and how bad. Because, come on, think how cool that is. You're in a world of high magic, right? Yeah, you make a wand. Someone, you know, hits you in combat. Your wand is like on a freaking...
Bandolier.
Bandolier, right? Guy hits you in the chest with a hammer. Well, he broke your wand of healing, you know, lesser healing. Maybe the charges go off and all of a sudden you're healed. Fucking amazing, right?
I would think I'd have a lot more to be worried about if someone hit me in the chest with a fucking hammer than a broken magic stick.
Yeah, but the broken magic stick would be fun. I mean, and I keep hearing from Goblin...
I think Moniker makes like a valid point there. Hammers fucking hurt.
Yeah, but if they break your wand of healing and charges go off...
I have hit my hammer. Finger. I have hit my finger with a hammer. Not intending to fuck it up. And it fucking hurts. And to think that somebody wants to fucking ruin my day with an even larger hammer and hit me in the chest, I think the last thing I'm concerned about is a magical stick and a bandolier.
Just saying. Now, if you kill that guy and he happened to have a couple spell charges, though, and say you kill him with, my favorite example, fireball, and it goes off and it goes bad, and then your fireball becomes larger and more powerful because you killed a magic user with it.
Secondary explosions for the win.
Although magic users do bring up another topic in the whole Know Your Role subject, is you got magic users who can specialize in evocations, fireballs and lightning bolt, super head explodey power. You've got transmuters, because what's more fun than turning somebody into a frog? Polymorph, once you get into, like, baleful polymorph, is a fun spell to unleash on enemy groups. Like, ooh, the big bad evil guy, boom. You're mutton. Fuck you. We're going to eat the bad guy. Isn't that cannibalism? No, because he's a sheep now. The sheep aren't people. But, you know... You have diviners, which are not very much played, but when they are, pissed GMs off, because diviners are like, what's going to happen tomorrow? And the GM's like, fuck you, I haven't even got that planned out yet. And so you do have different magical types, which brings up also genre is...
So there's like... Oh. There's the greater know your role. There's your frontline beef walls. Mm-hmm. There's your sneaky McStabby. There's your backline DPS and controller group.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then there's magic, which goes into all of the crazy schools, because, you know, a diviner is going to play very differently than
an illusionist.
An abjurer.
Or an abjurer, yeah.
Or a necromancer.
Well, an abjurer is there, like, if you don't have a cleric, an abjurer is your friend, because they're the next best thing.
Pretty much.
You know, they're running around, like, shielding everybody. They're like, I don't have healing spells, but I can slow down how fast you die. Ain't that great?
I don't know about you, but not getting hit is a better way to preserve healing spells than just mitigating some of that damage.
Yeah, knowing your role makes you more effective when you're in any sort of team play. And when you're like in an MMO, you know, they really do hard code these special rules that your character does. Like a paladin has really good self heals, crappy other people heals, fairly good tanking ability. That's fairly typical. Tanks are very powerful that way. But they play way differently than, say, a rogue. And if the rogue tries to play like a paladin, that rogue is toast.
Yeah.
And if the paladin is constantly trying to walk behind people, they're never, you know, shouting at the enemy to use that taunt button. They're not tanking one whit, but letting the wizard take all of the hits. They're not playing their role very effectively.
Yeah.
They're going to suck.
And people are going to get pissed off, because the wizard's going to go, the fuck aren't you tanking? You do your damn job.
With some players, it's like watching like one of those football manuals, you know, the coach has all laid out, and he's like, I want the place kicker here, I want the linebacker here, I want the halfback over there. You know, he's got all the positions laid out. And then, like, the team shows up, and they're like, nah, I think we're going to put, you know, we're going to put number 43 over there, number 26 over there, number 17 over there, and we're just going to play how we want to. If a football team played like that, they wouldn't last very long, and a lot of players seem to do this in MMOs or tabletop games, is they'll play a character who's just like, I'm going to do my own thing, especially, like, with the loner. Loners are horrible because the game, especially tabletop, is built to support group.
Mm-hmm.
And the loner's like the one who's going to run up and be like, yeah, I'm going to run up and assassinate him. And it's like, so you're going to go 300 meters into enemy territory, leave the rest of the group behind, try to get behind the big bad evil guy, stab him in the neck, and then make it pass through the rest of the army once they turn on you.
This whole podcast so far is giving me god-awful Overwatch flashbacks.
Overwatch flashbacks.
Oh, yeah. That's actually another really fucking good example.
If we can get the entirety of the Overwatch community to listen to this podcast, I think we can save the fellas.
No, because I mean, no. Then we're going to get, you know, banhammered all over the place.
We're going to get Kaplan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody's going to hear me say the word fuck one too many times, and they'll be like, fuck that guy! He's fucking insane! Fuck him! Fucking shut down that podcast! And I'll be like, mercy! And they'll be like, no.
Yeah, and, like, that's the thing. Like, you know, Overwatch is a really good example because I see a fuck ton of players who will not hide behind the tank.
No.
The stereotyped Genji who will, I need healing! Dude, you're 300 meters back in enemy territory. How the fuck am I supposed to get to you?
I'm a Zenyatta, motherfucker.
I'm gonna sit here and hover around and be nasty. Oh, hey, there's a guy I can see. Oh, hey, there's a guy I can see. That's Overwatch is silly like this, because, like, everyone plays for kills and forgets that the job is to move or control the point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to get kills. It's kills is a tool.
Yeah, especially, like, it's been a while since I've played, King of the Hill, yeah, where you control, contest a point. Yeah, where, you know, say we'll get the point early on, and then we hold it for a while, and then the team gets cocky, and then they just leave, you know, and they try and bring the fight back to the enemy spawning territory. You know what I mean? You ever have that experience?
Oh, yes.
And then I'll just
and then there's, like, a couple of rogues who slip up behind you and just, like, stab, sour sand.
Yeah, and then, because I usually main Zenyatta, because I'm actually, you know, pretty decent with him, and I'll just be hanging back there, you know, by myself on the point, and then, you know, a good old Reaper will shadow step behind me and be like, what's up, motherfucker?
Blam, god!
And then, bing! Enemy has control of the point. It's like...
It's insane.
Yeah.
And, like, or you know, some of the tanks, like, when I played Overwatch out of the gate, I mained D.Va. I was a scary-ass motherfucking D.Va, I figured out where her reticle was. This
D.Va,
is neither here nor there, but I played her like a dive distraction tank.
Stereotypes exist for a reason. He's a D.Va.
I am what I am. I played her like a dive distraction tank. My job was to get back behind enemy lines, fuck shit up, and just be the annoying little pissant that you can
be. Yeah, that's how I played her. Yeah.
And, like, what they weren't realizing... If three of you are facing off against me, and I'm holding my own all right, that means that the rest of my team can be walking that cart all the way to the end with half of the resistance.
Actually, one that was a lot of fun for a moment when I dabbled in Halo a little bit was I had to be the White Rabbit.
Oh, boy.
I suck at PvP shoot-em-up pow-pows. I'm horrible at them. And maybe it's because I burned out on shoot 'em up games 20 years ago, and I was like, God, it's the same thing, just different window dressing. I don't know. One of my friends, he's online, he's like, yeah, you're going to be White Rabbit because you're going to be hitting a target. Like, this one guy, I shot him like 42 times in the dick. Seriously, he came on the fucking headset. He's like, who keeps shooting me in the dick? And I'm like, it's all I can see on my screen, dude. It's your dick, and I'm shooting it, okay? But my, one of the guys on my team, he's like, yeah, you're going to be White Rabbit. I'm like, what? And he's like, you're going to run forward, zigzag like a motherfucker, and flush him out. I'm like, that I can do. That, I make an excellent target. I'm a great target. And without even fucking thinking about it, dude, I'm like, okay, I'm White Rabbit. I just boom, haul ass across the battlefield. I'm getting shot in the head, dying left, right, respawn, run across the battlefield again. But the point is, the enemies are now giving away their location. Every sniper is on me. And, like, the guys on my team are like, oh, well, we got a sniper over in Tower 2. And they go punk that motherfucker. So, like, the kill count was funny. Like, you get to the end screen, and I'm like, dead, 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 dead. There's, like, 25 deaths to my name. And everybody's like, what the fuck? But, like, all the other guys are pretty well fucked up. Because my team was just waiting for the enemies to
go mark bang.
Yeah, they're marking their location by shooting at me. So our strike team would just run forward, rush them real quick while they're paying attention to the White Rabbit, shoot them in the back of the head, and call it good.
The way I'm picturing this is you as White Rabbit scurrying across the field while Betty Hill theme is playing in the background.
Basically, yeah. Dude,
along with
Betty Hill theme, yeah.
Along with the similar era, me and my roommates in college played a lot of Call of Duty. At that point, I think it was Black Ops 1 and 2, along
you
with
said
the other
duty.
One. It got to a point where our living room had 4 TVs, 4 Xbox 360s, and the cable box, or the modem, I guess, at the time. And we had all these systems hooked up at once, so we could play, you know, online, but we all could see each other's screen and bounce off each other. Half the time, we had our one roommate, didn't live there long. He loved playing snipers, but in a dumb way. He would get the whole sniper rifle done up, everything, you know, to the max, and then he'd run around the field and just blast people at point-blank range.
Well, that was a thing for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was like the Call of Duty game, but I
mean, that's definitely not time. Knowing your role. I mean, if you're a sniper, you're supposed to be, like...
camping.
Sniping?
Well, not necessarily camping. Well,
that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to find a spot, hunker down, and keep people away.
Kill yes and no. A sniper's role is not to hunker down. A sniper's role is... long distance, fuck that guy.
Yep.
Which also includes
one that was
moving around.
A bunch of guys like found the sniper post, and they like snuck up on the snipers without them seeing them on their screen, and like set down a satchel charge and then walked away. So by the time the snipers realized something was wrong, kaboom.
But if actual soldiers, like, I mean, actual snipers. IRL acted like video game snipers, you know?
War would be completely different.
War has changed.
War
never changes.
War never changes, but it would be a lot stupider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially snipers are running like, no scope.
Actually, I think the whitest kids you know did that joke, so never mind then.
I mean, all of that.
Well, they did one similar to that, but yeah, the guys were AFK or...
Yeah. That's right. The one I was thinking of, yeah.
And, you know... like, the thing about the roles is, you know, taking a look, seeing what other people's abilities will work well with yours. For example, let's take a controller, right? I'm going to lock them in position with, you know, I'm going to turn their legs to ice or something. Well, I don't have any other abilities that trigger off of them being iced, but my buddy the sorcerer over there, he does. So all of a sudden, I'm wombo comboing. Goblin has good experience with us wombo comboing when we dealt, 190 points of damage in a turn? Because
that's because you guys, on a rare occasion, actually...
teamworked.
...fucking played together as a team. I mean, it blows my fucking mind.
Now, was this in your online game?
No, I was playing the Inquisitor. This is when Nej just unleashed... all of the hell on that div, was it?
Yeah, it was a div.
Yeah, so, as an Inquisitor, I go, okay, div, fuck that thing. straight up fuck that thing. I tag it using my Inquisitor judgment, but I took a feat just prior to this that said instead of dealing my judgment damage, I can mark the target for one turn that every other attack that hits it with a non-magic triggers my judgment damage. And then just went, hit it a bunch. And the monk comes strolling up, goes, pa 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 pa, and unleashes what? Six attacks?
Was it? It was a lot of attacks and a lot of fucking damage. And that boss fight was over in one round. But that's because the group was playing as a group instead of four special snowflakes.
Well, technically it was six of them.
Whatever.
But my favorite time we all worked together, our group was fighting that big-ass army. Our massive battle, where we had to do a theater of the mind because there wasn't a good spot to put a map. We kept arguing about the formation. We all worked together because one of us had a bunch of fireworks.
Oh, yes.
Without those fireworks, that battle would have went way differently.
Oh, yes.
So, I took the illusion class, or the illusion stuff with my occultist off the bat. So I was able to make someone invisible for a while. I made the monk invisible.
Guess what? High-speed characters now have a use. Running around, running around, running around, setting up things. Light them up!
Yep. So we had these fireworks that did a bunch of damage flying under this, you know, think like the Roman, not phalanx.
Actually, no, phalanx is the right word.
It is the right word, because that's how the fighting...
Well, I thought you said they had their, like, shields up over top.
Yeah, no, it's...
there's a specific term. But yeah. Basically,
it's the walking turtle.
Yeah, the walking turtle is the English version.
I want my way home, I'm a turtle. I work for the United States.
And then...
Postal service. I'm a turtle.
Can you let the man speak?
No.
So, the only person that this... Well, two people that were really out of this whole working together thing was our ranger druid dog person who was sitting up on the wall firing one arrow a turn until they realized they had Tangle, at which point they cast that in the middle of the group and we lit off another firework and now that whole area was on fire. And I think Narciss was out because this was his big swingy character and he was like trying to get there.
Yeah, because he was playing a dwarf and he moved really slowly. Slower than the phalanx. One thing, though, for knowing your role, and it's really hilarious, is that, of course, it's wise to pick a character you're going to be comfortable with. If you're new to the game, and people advise you to play a fighter, and you're interested in playing a fighter, then there's no reason not to go with it. But if you're more interested in playing a wizard, despite what the rest of the group says, you might want to try a wizard. You're going to want to go with something that interests you, that you're going to have be passionate about at the game table or in the online game or whatever community you're playing in. You're going to want to play something that appeals to you. That's why I don't play blue decks. I'm not a big controller with blue decks, but I'm great with black and green. I dabble in red a little bit because I like the offensive capabilities of red, but with blue and white, I suck balls. So I'm more comfortable with that. Those are the colors that I first gravitated towards when I first started playing Magic. I went for growth. I went for the weird killy power of black, which hurts you a little bit at the same time, and I went for direct damage. But I'm not really good for controllers. That's where I really gravitated towards. So when you're playing a game, and you know, you're first looking at the character selection screen, and you're like, oh, Reaper looks cool. I want to play a Reaper. Play a fucking Reaper. Don't listen to what the other guys are going to say, unless you've already got the skills for it. Like, dude, you played a lot of other games, and you're a much better, you know, mez tank. Play a mez tank, because that's what you're skilled at, and you're going to pick that class up way quicker. And the other one that really, stereotypes are real. But for some reason, I should almost lay down a rule when I do a homebrew game, is women cannot play druids if it's their first time.
That one very commonly writes up very quickly into the fee-fee zone.
It ranks in the fee-fee zone, yes. But almost every time, like, a lot of newer women to the role-playing genre, especially when it comes to rolling dice, will select a druid because, ooh, nature, earth, love, peace, whatever. And then they play it terribly. And, like, the rest of the group is basically hauling around this useless fucking druid with them, and they get to any situation, it doesn't matter. They're doing an investigation. They're doing combat. They're doing research. And the druid's just like, I'm going to go hug a tree and pet my wolf. Like, you are fucking useless. Why are you even a player class? You should be a commoner.
Oh.
With a dog.
So another thing about knowing your role, Kazakan and I can both hit on these points. When you're playing, like, for me with my spellcasters, or for you with, what was that one you had, like, all your notes? This was when we were doing, I think it was Kingmaker?
Oh, it was either my Scald or my Oracle.
Your Oracle.
My Oracle. I... First level character plus 15 heal skill. Yes. Like, I admit the power of gaming him a little bit, but the big downside with it was not being able to communicate with your team, so it kind of balanced out.
And, you know, that's the thing, though, but you had all your notes written down. I had a thing when I was playing my Magus that I would try to have little spell cards. I took 3x5s, cut them to about the size of a magic card so I could keep them in one of my spare binders, and that's where I kept my spell cards. I wrote down the basics of the spell and what I could do. And if I changed level, I wrote it all in pencil so I could erase and write in the new thing.
And then Goblin here is just looking at us awestruck. Because...
No, I'm just thinking. Fucking druids.
Right, I was wrong.
Well, I mean, come on, everyone loved Shadwell.
Yeah, and...
Shadwell was a useful druid.
Yes.
He was also not a fucktard.
He was not a fucktard with a fucking wolf who would rather do nature things that were not spec towards nature things. Okay, now my neck is starting to hurt again. Oh, the headache.
He's having flashbacks.
No, I'm having a headache now all of a sudden because, oh, druids.
Outside of gaming, I think, I don't know, I think people love the wrong idea about druids. Kind of like what you were saying earlier, you know, just nature,
hippie-dippies.
Yeah, hippie-dippies stuff. When in reality, the old Celtic druids actually did a lot of really fucked up shit.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't hippies, they were shamans who practiced very,
bloody magic.
Yeah, very bloody magic.
I am protected by Kek, maybe. He's a chaos god. You never know.
But that's definitely a good thing you bring up is if you're not familiar with something, a lot of people just go and say, oh, this sounds kind of cool from something I know nothing about. Research the part. Read through the character, you know, basic write-up several times. Check what...
It's actually a really good example of that when you bring that topic up. Continue what you were just saying. Darkness Rising, gamers, great video. Awesome video when they introduce the female into the group to bring up their fourth character. And Cass wants her to play Bikini Babe, the barbarian warrior. And she has a character already written up, and they're like, fine, will you play her? And she does like an int-based fighter. And they get into their combat, and she's like smoking the enemies left and right while the monk is trying to play catch up. Because.
She read what her job was and went, I can do cool things with this, and I can do cool things with this, and they can start adding up, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, 10 feet away, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, she's got like a huge crit range, and she gets to continue her attack and follow through every time she crits. So she obviously, off camera, had like researched the character and built it herself to be effective as possible. That's what anybody should do when they, like, hit the table, is how do I make my character effective in the group?
Right? And, you know, like, my first time playing Pathfinder was that Oracle. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about him. I researched the fuck out of him and realized that with the way if I stacked it up just so, I could go up in combat to two of my buddies with my healing kit and go, wa-bam! 1d6 plus 6 of health. Out of the gate.
And you were level super one, that's useful to the group, and we were able to do some stuff together, other than shoot at a mirror.
You know?
Yeah, the mirror. Oh, yeah, you see a floating object reflecting light, the distance, what do you do? I shoot at it! Smart!
D20 Yeah, that whiff fucked us up.
You know, it's actually kind of funny, you know, whenever I'm running a game, sometimes people will do the stupidest shit. I've had people dive headfirst into traps. I've had barbarians run into orbs of annihilation. I've had people shoot at mirrors. A little quotation marks in the air there because it wasn't a mirror. Yeah, it's just like, for some reason, players will do the stupidest shit. I mean, I've done this myself in online games where I'll wind up underneath the map and the GMs will be like, how'd you get down here? And I'm like, ah, I got bored. Or how'd you wind up, you know, fighting a god? I got bored. And it's really weird because, like, I don't know. When you're doing a game, people will have a role in mind, and when they play it somehow stupidly. Especially, like, rogues or assassins. They like, leave the rest of the party to go assassinate shit and wonder why they're taking fuck-tons of damage.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because my shield is back at camp.
Oh, God. Another thing about Know Your Role.
Thinking like a turtle.
Kind of.
You know, I was just going to say, I did look up the shield formation. It actually is just called the Roman Tortoise.
Yeah, it was in Latin, though. It sounds really cool.
Carpe scrotum.
I mean, come on, you're Catholic. We should know how to say it.
Oh, he's Catholic? Oh, yeah. It sounds like...
How we know each other.
Father, please, no. Please, no, no. I don't want to do this.
No. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned, and forgive me, Daddy, I've been bad. Technically mean the same thing, but with wildly different connotations.
Yeah.
But they sound cooler when you say it in Latin.
Everything sounds cooler in Latin. That's how 40K got popular.
But, like I was saying, I had a knowing your role,
do your research, read the book.
No, he's...
RTFC.
No,
yeah, a lot of that.
Read the fucking cards. What does this do? Well, read it. It's right there in your fucking hand. It's the same with playing a character. The information is there. I mean, like, when I'm playing Star Wars Galaxy, right, there's tons of guides on there, especially if you're doing pre-NGE, and there's a fuck ton of different builds you can do. You can go buck-ass fucking wild with pre-NGE New Game Enhancement Star Wars. But some builds are just going to suck balls, and if you try to PvP with those builds, you're going to get boned, you're going to try to PvP with or PvE with them, and you're going to get fucked up. So one of the things you need to do is read guides. If you're playing Pathfinder and you're like, oh, well, I want to play a druid, for example, read the fucking book. Because books will give you all the information you need on it. And if you're like, well, I'm not exactly liking this idea, or, you know, the build's not exactly working, then you go to online and you go www.duckduckgo, do a search. And there are plenty of people out there who have wrote their experiences and their builds on those classes, and you'll find more information.
I remember what I was going to say now.
Oh.
So this kind of goes into that. So something a lot of people don't think about when know your role, if your character has armor, and that's a main thing to keep them alive. You're not going to sleep in your armor. There is a feat to allow you to do that.
In Pathfinder, yes.
And in Pathfinder, there's also... feat, I believe, to let you don your armor quickly.
Yes.
We had a party wipe because we were against something we couldn't handle, but you're never supposed to be able to handle everything.
It was by the rules.
Yes, it was by the rules.
Four trolls, level 3 characters. They were fucked.
But you gotta realize when your character has armor, you're not in it all the time. You actually have to go through a process to put it on. Just like with spellcasters. Some of them, you have to prepare your spells, so you're gonna have to take time. You can't just wake up and be like, oh, I'm going to use my spells. I didn't do my ritual this morning. No more of the in and outs of your character. Realize that you're not always prepared all the time. It's hard to do that in real life. You get blindsided by all kinds of dumb shit regularly. But realize that if your character's main thing is, I wear big armor because I'm a little soft and squishy, if you guys get attacked in the middle and you're not on, in the middle of the night and you're not on watch, remember that on your character sheet. Don't go and start fighting things. Like, oh, well, my AC is this. My armor is that. Are you wearing your armor? Well, yes. Did you sleep in your armor? Now you've got negatives, unless you have a feat.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to put your armor on. You know, it takes a minute. Do this in real life. As someone who is starting to get more into cosplay, by the way, if you guys have seen my Darth Blasphemous getup, I shared it on Facebook. Kazakhan shared it on the page. That takes a few minutes for me to put on, but I've made it so that that little robe setup is really quick. It's actually like 5 pieces. But if I were to be like trying to sleep in that, it'd be really uncomfortable. If I were to try and don that quickly, I might be able to do it, but your characters have all this badass armor. You picture them in like full plate and big old helmet. There's a reason you had a squire. That stuff takes time. Realize this with your role.
Well, yeah, when you're looking at online, not online, I'm sorry, when you're looking at tabletop gaming, far future technology and medieval technology are vastly different for everyday life compared to what we do now. Like, I wake up in the morning, it takes me 5 minutes to get ready to go to work. I get my shit on, I'm out the door. Done. 5 minutes, everything's ready. But in far future tech, you're looking at things that have to boot up. You know, maybe you got like a thing on your forearm that helps you target. Well, you gotta boot that motherfucker up. You gotta strap on your armor. It's not all, you know, you hit a button and... Okay, maybe Star-Lord, but...
Iron Man.
Well, no, because even with him, he's gotta walk through the car wash and get all the armor put on.
That's true.
Yeah, like early Iron Man, he's still gotta walk through the car wash, like you said. Or, you know, if his armor is remote, he still has to wait however long it takes for the armor to fly from Stark Tower to him to put the fucking stuff on. Or, like, when the Hulkbuster moment happened... He still had to wait for the orbital drop.
Or even with the new nanite suit, it still takes, you know, a few seconds.
Yeah.
If he gets shot before the armor can form, he's still shot.
Yeah, and when you're looking at medieval technology, I mean, anybody who's done any sort of SCA events or Ren Faire, who's got the full decked out garb, knows it takes quite some time to put that shit on. And if you're putting it on in a hurry,
you're going to miss something.
And you're going to miss something, or it's going to be awkward as fuck.
And you're not going to be able to move properly.
It's not like putting on jeans and t-shirt to go to work.
God, that would be horrible.
What, putting on a full plate to go to work?
No, I was just thinking about having, you know, to wear armor, like, and if it was made like pants and a t-shirt, where it's all one thing, you just throw it on. That would be horrible. Just trying to put that on.
It could be done, but it would be fucking horrible.
You'd have to use a stepladder to put your pants on.
No, you'd have to lay on your back and just stick your feet straight up in the air. Just let your pants slide down your legs, and then you have to like roll forward, and then, you know, get enough momentum to stand up, so you just like do this weird like
teeter-totter thing.
So you roll forward onto your feet while holding your hips to hike your pants up.
I mean, I've tried putting my pants on both legs at the same time before, and it didn't work out well.
And then at that point, you know, unless you've got, you know, lighter plate armor, you pray to God that your armor-plated t-shirt doesn't fall on the floor, because otherwise you've got to bend over and pick it up.
Oh my God, that's the other thing that bugs me. So, it's mainly in, like, anime art. These guys were... Well, it's also in video games, too. Where their armor is just, like, a whole bunch of useless belts. Think of how long it would take to cinch all of those belts up. And then if you have to go through, because the last one, Titan, picks up a bunch of the slack, so then you got to take more slack out of each of the consecutive
belts.
Or
you're putting that shit on and it catches some arm hair.
Oh!
You know, with all the belts in Square Enix, what if it's just that they're all heroin addicts? So that's why they wear all the belts, you know?
I figure they're more into erotic asphyxiation is what I figure. They want to be prepared. They're a party favor.
Hold on, I need to take some ether for battle.
Oh, yeah, that's the good
magic's restored now.
Wow, I just had MX flashbacks.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah, that would be MX for me. Alright, so we're nearing the end of this episode. So any final thoughts on knowing your role?
This episode or this half?
This is the full episode, dude.
You know, maybe this might be unrelated. And I know I feel bringing this up might be kind of beating a dead horse. But knowing your role is kind of why I really dislike Marvel's interpretation of any of the Norse mythology. Especially after the... recent fan base where they try and make everything cute, because I've seen a lot of this fan art, and it's like, you do know in one of the stories Loki turned into a bolt to try and, I forget what trick he's trying to do, but pretty much it backfired on him. No, he turned into a cow. I think he was trying to trick Thor or something in the story. Anyway, he ends up getting fucked by a bull and gave birth to his own son.
Yeah, you know, shit like that.
I want to see that in the Marvel, you know,
it's
Disney's
like
Marvel.
My old man said before he went crazy and died. Gods are meant to be worshipped, not as entertainment.
Yeah, that's that.
It's like,
ooh. Go ahead.
Okay.
You two fight over it.
I was just going to, I don't know. I feel like I just want a lot of these Marvel fans who think that's actually, like, from watching the movie, they're, like, experts on Northern mythology. I want them to go watch Vikings or something, you know?
No, Vikings is closer, but not quite. I mean, they do hold true to some aspects of that era, but in other ways, you're looking at it, you're like, what? Crunchray Crayre doesn't make any sense.
I mean, even farther into that, so just send them to one of the Scandinavian countries where they actually keep the lore and have people who know the stories and have them be told them in English.
That's true.
Which is sad because some Scandinavians actually speak better English than we do.
Well, we speak American.
American.
Yeah. Space Force.
Space Force. Hey, you never want to be the second one up there.
Space Marines.
Anyway. As I was going to say, unrelated to mythology, but relating to know your role, is this goes for the storyteller as well. Your DM, your GM, whatever their job title is called.
Games Operations Director?
Yes, sure.
Referee?
Yeah. Their job is to make sure that rules are being enforced and that everyone is having fun. After that, story. Those are their three jobs, and... Like, I've met a lot of GMs who miss on one of those three things in a pretty bad way.
Or all three of them.
Or all three of them in extremis.
Yeah.
Those are the ones you really stay away from.
And if you want to learn more, check out Goblin Series, The Seven Deadly Sins GM.
I haven't published episode 7 still. I saw.
Hey, you know what?
It's done. It's just been sitting in the buffer forever.
Anyhow, that's, you know... It's not just for the players, it's also for the storyteller that the role is needed. Then you need to understand it.
Yeah. Oh, I really hope I got that Loki story right, otherwise I'm going to look like a fucking idiot.
It's not hard.
Yeah, that's true, especially in my case.
Way to lower the bar there, pal. In case I look like an idiot, well, the bar just lowered 3 centimeters.
We need James Cameron to raise the bar again.
Yeah. Hey, take it this way.
Yeah.
When it comes to knowing your role, you can never do worse of looking like an idiot than Rian Johnson, who does not know his role as a director.
Beautiful.
What's this I hear about him not actually having lost his trilogy?
No, he lost his job. Dude, he's fucked. They brought in Jar Jar...
Abrams.
Abrams, yeah.
No, but so Johnson was supposed to have a trilogy where he was going to do all his own shit in Star Wars somewhat. Mm-hmm. And so I read... like 2 or 3 weeks ago, that Disney had completely excommunicated him from that. Then I read on Thursday that, no, he's actually getting the trilogy.
I doubt it, considering how much money he lost Disney, and how many customers are like, yeah, maybe I'm just gonna, like, boy, I do love COTS.
I think we're off topic.
We are off topic, because we're at the end of this.
Final thoughts, Blasphemous, know your role.
Research it, read it, try and make as many notes as you can, and... the internet is a great place to learn more about your role or how you want to play it and know what you're doing.
And also, you know, to tag onto that, how not to play it is also good information.
True. There's always the option of delving into horror stories and reading how other people are fucked up before you play to go, that's something I shouldn't do. You don't have to learn from just your own mistakes. You can also learn from other people's.
All right.
Yeah, there's that.
Goblin? I think you're the last to speak on
your role. I am. Check out YouTube.com. Look for Blood Force Gamers in the search bar because we don't have enough people subscribed to actually have our own address. And there are GMing hints and tips. And every once in a while, I get off my butt and put up a video. But know your role. If you're a podcast editor, edit your stuff on the day of, if you can, or beforehand. Instead of delving into double XP weekend and grinding the shit out of space loot.
Indeed.
Read the fucking cards, read the books, play a character you're passionate about. If you enjoy the character that you're going to go for, you're going to learn about it much quicker. It's going to be easier to integrate yourself into whatever game you're playing.
A little research can make a huge difference for you and everyone else.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you don't do your research, you might wind up as a click commander. And that's my monkey!
And then I guess the last thought is don't be a fucking idiot.
Dude, I'm sorry, but I'm going to end the podcast by saying that's asking too much.
Peace.
Peace.
Blunt Force Gamers.
You are whatever muddies the white.
I'm killing Steve Shives.
I am so blue ball on fucking EA right now.
It means hold on, fuck.
Durr.
Pay me rent, bitch.
Hey! I paid for a 2-liter, you fucker!
3, 2, 1. Ready?
Hello. Feeling tired at the gaming table? Unsure if your game needs inspiration? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you. Now there's a podcast untamed by political correctness that may bring your game some added invigoration, whether it is video gaming, tabletop gaming, or card gaming. Each episode may contain unusual amounts of truth, logic, opinions based on personal experiences, half-assed insights, and random bullshit. The BFG podcast is not recommended for children under 18, nor for children over 18, and is not suitable for those who are nursing, pregnant, recently pregnant, or for those who can get others pregnant. Each episode may also contain crude and or puerile humor, humor of a racist, sexist, nihilist, ableist, jingoist, ageist, or fatalist commentary. Warning! Excessive listening to the podcast may cause the following conditions: tremors, sweating, facial twitching, premature ejaculation, pustulant tumors, nausea, headaches, dizziness, swelling in the left kneecap, lucid dreaming, daydreaming, night terrors, involuntary convulsions, a condition known as sausage fingers, spontaneous rectal combustion, autoerotic asphyxiation, an unusual desire to befriend parasitic space monsters, Bigfoot sightings, and uncontrollable facepalming. Lactation is known to occur in both men and women. Do not listen to BFG if you suffer from any of the following conditions: social justice whining, passive-aggressive hippie syndrome, high-speed battles with a Nexus 6, table-flipping rage quitting, or diagnosed as having no sense of humor. Ask your doctor if asking your doctor is right for you.
Ah, ai janayo, ski dake da yo.